You're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Kyle Soppy in once more for Daniel Dopp today. It is Wednesday, the final day of September. And before we get to the show, one more reminder that we had a blast the last time we got to hang out with you guys virtually during a live show. So it's a hybrid show, very 2020 of us. And
yes.
We decided that we had...
Very COVID-19 of us.
Very COVID-19. We decided that we would do it one more time. Run it back, baby, like the Chiefs. So if you didn't snag a seat at the last live event, or if you had so much fun that you want to do it again, join us Tuesday, October 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's actually next Tuesday. It's
right.
Our second. It's actually our final virtual live event. So this is your last chance. It's presented by Geico and Marathon. And sort of how it works is this. You register and you have the opportunity to submit questions, and we'll answer questions, whether they are the fantasy or nonsense variety, whether it's about...
And the show is entirely questions.
Like, yes.
We got to a zillion questions on the last one.
It was very fun to get to a bunch of questions from things like the value of Michael Thomas in a trade to the best breakfast foods or beers.
Yeah, to your insane insistence that breakfast beer is a thing.
I tell you what.
It's beer at breakfast. Right. Like, it's beer, and you drink it when you drink it. Like, it's not, there's not such thing as, like, breakfast beer.
I'm telling
like
you.
Like, brunch beer. Like, yes, you're, sure. Like, it's beer.
No.
It's beer, and you just, I'm having a beer with breakfast.
I'm not going to.
Because, you know, glug, glug on Field Yates over here. But I'm just saying.
I'm not going to debate you too hard on the different types of beers. Let me just make it very clear. And for those out there that drink a lot of beer and are beer aficionados, they know that I'm right on this matter. There are such things as breakfast beers. A final couple words here.
So you would never have a breakfast beer at night?
Well, I would. I mean, I will. I'll have any beer at any time.
Exactly. That's my point.
But hold on.
That's my point. I mean, listen. You love your beer.
Beers that I would have.
You're a thirsty guy. Maybe instead of thirsty cow, it should be thirsty field.
I don't think you need to overthink this one too much. Like there are certain, like you know, do you have mimosas at night? Would you?
I'm not a mimosa guy.
Okay, but general, if someone liked a mimosa, they would have a mimosa at night.
Yeah.
But they prefer it with their brunch as they wake up the morning
after
a lovely time at a wedding.
Drink.
Okay, I'm just telling you, breakfast beer to the mimosas of beers. Registration is free for this event, but space is limited, and we ran out of space last time. We got maximum capacity in this Zoom room, so go to bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball20. All of that is lowercase, and do that today. That's bit.ly/fantasyfocusfootball20, all lowercase, to join us for a fun evening hanging with the 06010. The Fantasy Focus Football virtual events are presented by Geico, and Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. And Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Okay, now we can get into some injury updates. But before we do, I have one more thing I want to do. And I'm sorry I keep hijacking conversations. But rarely am I jealous of what Matthew Berry brings to the table from a fashion standpoint. But I'm super jealous. The hat you're wearing right now, this is a sick hat. You, of
Thank
course,
you.
Are a graduate of Syracuse University.
Proudly.
And at least as far as I'm concerned, the best lacrosse program in the history of college lacrosse is Syracuse.
I appreciate that. Yeah. We're elite. Listen, I graduated in 92, so I was there for the 1990 championship.
One of the all-time great lacrosse teams ever.
Paul and Gary Gate and legends. And so, yeah, you know, whatever. I love the hat.
Yeah.
I just love the hat and felt like, you know, because you wore a hat the other day on the air and I thought it looked good and I wanted to see... You know, could I pull it off?
Yeah, you can pull it off.
And I'm not convinced I am. I'm looking at myself. We have what's called a return. Haley thinks it was a Browns hat, but she does like it. So, okay, our producer Haley gives me the thumbs up, and you do as well.
Yeah, I do as
so
well,
you're
yeah.
You're my fashion spirit animal. So,
well, there's one more opinion that matters.
What's that?
And we can use this as a segue to Stefania, because we can ask Stefania about Matthew's hat, and then we can talk about things that are slightly more important. But Stefania, what are your thoughts on Barry's cap over here?
And before you answer, realize that I only have the one college. I know you have like 25 colleges that you just pick a hat depending on whatever college team, but I'm a Syracuse guy. I grew up in College Station, Texas, so I root for Texas A&M.
That's right.
And Syracuse. So I got two hats.
You also root for... In colleges. Okay. Okay.
In terms of just colleges.
All right.
And I will listen. And my son goes to Tulane.
Oh, so,
obviously,
now we're adding another one.
Go to the Green Wave.
Okay,
go
so,
Green
so far
Wave.
We're up to three, which is not that different from me. But by the way, your cap could be improved upon a little bit.
Okay.
If it said Princeton Lacrosse, also national champions in recent, also an excellent program,
yes.
Often in the Final Four with you.
All
and
that
Johns
is correct.
Hopkins.
Princeton is like the Syracuse of New Jersey.
I've never heard it called that before. But okay.
The Wesleyan of New Jersey.
Fair enough. All right, Stefania. Here. We got some injuries to talk about.
Yes, we do. Well, first,
let's talk about COVID.
The COVID situation. This news broke yesterday when we were on the air, and all we knew was that there were some positive tests among the Titans, and they were shutting down their facility. So since we were last on the podcast, what we learned is that there were three player positive tests for the Titans and five personnel positive tests. These are new positives, and they were also definitive positive tests as opposed to presumed positive, where they're double checking to make sure there's no error. There were three players placed on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday for Tennessee. This morning, Dan Graziano is reporting that there was one more positive test in Tennessee. Not clear on who that was. No positive tests so far for Minnesota. Yesterday, we heard that there were no positive tests for the Vikings, and I commented on Twitter that those tests weren't too meaningful because the exposure had just happened on Sunday, and you have to recognize there's an incubation period with this virus. So the news that yesterday's round of testing produced no positives in Minnesota is encouraging. I wouldn't say that the door has fully closed on that possibility. But right now, things stand that the game is expected to still be played, but of course, everything is up in the air, and the testing will continue throughout the week. And one final thing, if you're interested in what happens, the details of what happens once a player tests positive, the NFLPA posted a really nice tweet yesterday that summarizes what happens if a player tests positive and is asymptomatic, if a player tests positive and is symptomatic, and what has to happen in order for that player to return to play. So it's a lot of detail, but they made it very nice into an infographic. And if you're curious, look at the NFLPA Twitter.
Okay, NFLPA. So, it's literally at NFLPA.
So. At NFLPA. They do a great job for their players, and they've done a great job in this pandemic.
This
is good news.
Yeah, hold tight.
I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, I would say so. I don't think that everybody who listens to this podcast or just is interested in fantasy football is exclusively interested in whether the game will be played this weekend and not the well-being of the health and player safety.
Of course.
You can have both, right? Of course. I think all of us are wholehearted enough to both want to see these players healthy and safety and also wonder if they're going to play this game. This is a big business, and I'm not talking just about fantasy football. I'm talking about football in general. So right now, we're going to tell you to hold tight. We don't know. It sounds like there's a chance this game will be played, and for those that are wondering about how we'll handle it here at ESPN Fantasy, we did release a statement of sorts yesterday that basically, I'll summarize it like this. When we have more information, we'll give you more information. And if, for example, the game between the Titans and the Steelers, obviously scheduled for Sunday, is moved to Monday or Tuesday, we'll update you on how that impacts Week 4 scoring. But this is a story that will probably develop all the way until Sunday morning. So 10 a.m. Eastern time, ESPN2, you should all be watching Fantasy Football Now.
We will have it there. In terms of the players that were placed on the COVID-19 list,
we know three so far.
Yeah. Right.
So for the Titans, and it was a nose tackle, it was a long snapper, and it was a practice squad tight end. So I'm not saying that this makes it irrelevant, because of course it doesn't. These are people's well-being.
Right, and they have families and everything like that. But as far as it relates to fantasy football value, which is what the purpose of this show is,
we don't have information that would suggest somebody like Derrick Henry, for example, will not be able to play even if the game is played on Sunday because he is on the reserve COVID list. We'll continue to update you as we get more information, and if that person who was identified as another positive this morning winds up being a player, understand that the protocol is he goes to the reserve COVID list. And as Stefania said, it's a bunch of series of steps from there. We go from COVID-19 to just injuries of more garden variety, Stefania. We start in Tampa Bay, where the Bucks are 2-1 and the schedule sets up really nicely for them to go to like 4-5-1 maybe. But we also have seen them really not at full strength on offense, and it sounds like that won't be the case again on Sunday with Chris Godwin.
Right. The hamstring injury circulating among their top wide receivers, and Chris Godwin left in the third quarter this past week with a right hamstring injury. Now, reportedly, the MRI showed a mild strain. And why does that matter? Well, there actually has been some study done in the NFL with NFL players and looking at MRIs and how they grade out and does it correlate to missed time. And one group who looked at it found that a mild strain typically meant somewhere between 1 and 2 weeks. So that's about what you can count on.
Okay.
Now, Chris Godwin is expected to miss this week. And I would note that Tampa Bay plays week 5 on a Thursday night game. So that's a short turnaround of less than 2 weeks. It's possible he could miss that one as well. But it sounds like he escaped a major injury in the big spectrum of things.
Well, that's sort of good news. As I mentioned, the Bucks, they have much more of a January view than they do early October view, right? So in the grand scheme for them, what's most important is getting healthy and, of course, you know, slotting in the division and playoff race. Yep. They got to make the playoffs to have a chance in January.
Right.
But all things considered, this is probably a big picture thing good for them that it's a minor issue. But, Matthew, we've already dealt with life without Bucks receivers or the threat of one of them not playing, because Mike Evans, we know in week 1, went from questionable, doubtful to questionable to game time decision to playing.
So we've not doing very much in that game.
Not doing very much. But we have talked about replacement players in this Bucks offense. So the names that we're going to dive into, Scotty Miller or Justin Watson, who I think himself is banged up as well.
Yeah, he didn't play last week, but he would be the slot guy, assuming health for him. But I think, you know, does this mean increased opportunity for Rob Gronkowski, who we saw sort of, you know, after a slow start to the season, had some nice moments last week and, you know, came this close to a touchdown. O.J. Howard, we've started to see some O.J. Howard recently. To me, I think I would rank the pass catchers, Mike Evans, obviously.
Yep.
Then you go down to Scotty Miller
for me.
And then I think I'm going to Gronk over O.J. Howard here. I was encouraged by what I saw last week.
Yeah.
And I think it continues, but I don't feel super strong about that. And I think both guys might really kind of devalue each other. Both guys, I think, are tight ends outside the top 10 this week.
Maybe like much further outside the top 10, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You know, I would just say this is like, generally speaking, when you're trying to wish something into existence, and that seems to be the case right now. Like the Bucks are like, you know, Gronk is the blocking tight end, and now they're promoting, like, hey, our blocking tight end had 6 catches for 48 yards. That's 8 yards a catch, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
So,
but he got an end zone look. I mean, if that was not a great throw by Brady, like if Gronk comes down with that touchdown,
we feel better.
I think
about it.
The narrative is different around him, right?
A little bit, yeah. But I think for now, I'm with you in that, like, we entered the season with great hope and expectations about this offense. And it's not that it's been brutal so far. I just think we thought there was a chance that, like, any week you could play many pass catchers in this Bucks offense. It feels like right now you can play one, and that's Mike Evans, who's coming off of a great stat line. 2 catches, 2 yards, 2 touchdowns. Third player in NFL history to ever do that.
Hey, dude was efficient.
Yes.
Dude did what needed to be done. He took care of business.
Well, let me tell
you what he did.
Would you rather have 2 for 2 for 2 and get, what, that's 14.2 fantasy points? Or have 6 catches for 73 yards? And the answer is, you'd rather have the 2 for 2 for 2.
Right. But here's the thing I was going to say here, is that they play the Chargers at home this week.
Yeah.
Chargers come in really banged up.
Super banged
5 up. Defensive starters gone. Like, you tweeted this out yesterday.
Yeah, 5 already.
Right.
The Chargers is like, of course, we're the Chargers. We always have injuries, right? Somehow. But 5 defensive starters, Derwin James, Chris Harris. But they still have actually really good secondary depth. And 2 weeks ago, minus Derwin James, but with also Melvin Ingram and Chris Harris, they gave Patrick Mahomes, they made him like semi-mortal for 3 quarters. So this is a pretty good defense, all things considered.
Yeah.
But it certainly
And you would expect Casey Hayward to shadow Mike Evans, would be my expectation.
Yep, so we're going to get into ranking in just a little bit. Let's move forward. Stefania, Dallas Goedert, we've talked about him for the past couple of days. Do we have any definitive update on him right now for Philadelphia?
Yes, yesterday, remember we were talking about the nature of a fracture, how long it could be. If it was a chip fracture, it could be a couple weeks. If it was a different kind of fracture, it could be more than a month. Sounds like he's going on injured reserve, so we know he'll be out at least 3 weeks. You get some clarity there. It's been described as a small fracture, and I would take that as an encouraging sign, especially if he comes back from IR and he can function and practice that week. Maybe you get him back in about 4 weeks, but at least you know for now you're not going to have him.
The team also placed just moments ago Jalen Reagor on IR. And for those of you who are saying, I thought he went on IR last week. Well, he did not actually end up on IR. This strikes me as just they didn't need the roster spot last week. And if he's going to miss more than three games, it's not that big of a deal if you wait by a week. They presumably need the roster spot. And just a note, and this might be one of those things that like applies to like the seven people in like the deepest of dynasty leagues that are listening to this podcast, but I at least thought it was semi-interesting. The Eagles signed Hakeem Butler off of the Cardinals off of the Panthers practice squad. He was a fourth round pick of the Cardinals last year out of Iowa State.
Yeah. They're playing him out for the year. Out for the year.
Yeah.
And the interesting part about the Hakeem Butler thing is they said they're going to play him at tight end. Yeah. Now, Hakeem Butler was a wide receiver in college, but he's a big guy.
He's huge. And, you know, the part of the reason why he fell to the fourth round is he was very stiff or sort of a tight-hipped guy and was not able to make the most of his speed in his brief time in Arizona. But maybe just file it away. You know, like, here's where it might matter. And I don't want to put the cart too far ahead of the horse here. But, you know, Zach Ertz has already conceded, like, this could be my final year in Philadelphia, right? With his contract situation where it's at, which I think is crazy. Again, I think Zach Ertz is one of the best players in the NFL. I'd pay him all the money if I could. But in the event that happens, for those that are already turning the page of 2021, maybe Hakeem Butler, maybe there's like a 5% chance he becomes a
thing. I just say that was a guy that I liked coming out of college that I thought was really interesting. And I remember talking to Kyler Murray about him. When I interviewed Murray at the NFLPA rookie premiere, his rookie season, and he was talking up Butler. He was very excited about it. And then soon after that, of course, Butler lost for the year. It's unfortunate, but there were some flashes there in terms of Butler. And he's a guy that can win a lot of 50-50 balls. And he's a big bodied guy with good hands that can go up and get the ball. And so, yeah, when you think about how many two tight end sets the Eagles run, he does become a very interesting deep dynasty league. I'm in a bunch of dynasty leagues where it's tight end premium. Like, so yeah, like, you know, he's worth a couple of bucks.
Trust me, I have used way worse draft picks on players in dynasty that I have let go of quickly. They are no longer part of my dynasty. Stefania, we're going to make history tomorrow night. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but tomorrow night will be the first time in the modern era of the NFL that two teams, 0-3 or worse, play on Thursday night football. You can feel the buzz already.
Yeah.
The Jets maybe, possibly, could maybe have Jameson Crowder. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Adam Gase is fairly optimistic that he could be back. Obviously, he's been out 2 weeks with a hamstring issue, limited estimation in practice this week. We will see. You know, it sounds like they think that he could be available. Rashad Perriman remain out because of the ankle injury, but sounds like they could have Crowder.
Okay, Crowder could be there, and it'd be interesting to see if he does play, if he's effective enough. It's not like the matchup is super scary. I don't know where to go with this Jets offense, though. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
I mean,
if he plays, I'm excited because
he's been good.
He is a good player. I just feel for this Jets offense.
It's awful.
I don't know what to tell you.
It's awful. It's a disaster.
It's on a short week.
And it's just, and I mean, here's the crazy part. So the Broncos, who are also 0-3,
yeah,
and the Broncos who are starting their third string quarterback,
yeah,
rookie Brett Rippon, you know, shout out to the great Mark Rippon,
that's
who
right.
Brought my Washington professional football team a Super Bowl, Brett Rippon, a third string quarterback traveling East Coast on 3 days rest, yeah. they're favored.
I know.
Like, that's where the Jets are. The Jets are underdogs at home on a short week to a third-string rookie quarterback.
So last night,
where you are, Jets.
The Broncos tweeted a video the last time we played the Jets on Thursday Night Football, and it was the highlights from Tim Tebow's year as a starter, and they played Tim Tebow, and the Broncos played the Jets on Thursday Night Football. And I remember thinking to myself, can we just replay that game on Thursday night? I'll just watch that copy again, you know?
I mean, 100%. And by the way, the Broncos, like, that is gutty. I would use a different word if I wasn't on air. That is gutty of the Broncos social media. I mean, because the Broncos, like, you guys spent a first round pick on Tim Tebow. Yeah. He was your starter for a year. I mean, the Jets had him as a third stringer and he managed to get into the lineup. Yeah. Like, you guys used a first round pick on Tim Tebow. And by the way, I believe, Field, and you're good with this stuff, so correct me if I'm wrong, I am pretty sure that Brett Rypien is the ninth different starting quarterback for the Broncos since John Elway took over as general manager.
Yeah, they've had the least continuity, maybe this side of the Browns in the NFL, at quarterback in quite some time.
So the idea that the Broncos social media is throwing shade, is throwing quarterback shade at the Jets. Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, not to go all Chad Pennington on you, but like there have been some decent Jets quarterbacks. Yeah, like I don't remember, right? I mean, like, listen, Darnold has actually had some moments.
I feel for Sam Darnold.
I do too.
One point, free Sam Darnold will be a thing at some point. But we got to move forward.
A long list of players that have had tremendous success in the NFL once they were no longer coached by Adam Gase. And I would argue that if that becomes the case for Sam Darnold, he will join that list.
All right, so we got to pick the pace up here. Sorry, I've been too much nonsense on my half. But Stefania, one more injury for that Thursday night game. We'll get into this game in full on Thursday's podcast. It's Philip Lindsay, who has been out for a couple of weeks now with turf toe.
Right, and they're saying that Vic Fangio said on Monday that he was trending the right direction for Thursday night, and he was back in limited practice yesterday. But I got to tell you, I'd be a little bit nervous with the turf toe injury making his way back when he hasn't been in full practice for a week.
Okay, well, in a short week, gosh, it's hard to imagine you trust using Philip Lindsay in your lineup, especially given that Melvin Gordon has been good. We'll talk about Melvin Gordon in just a little bit. But one more here, Stefania, before we get into rankings, is Deontay Johnson for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So promising, but now dealing with a health concern.
Right. Now with a head injury in the concussion protocol, Steelers very methodical about how they exercise their protocol. So you won't really know much till the end of the week.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on Chase Claypool, be the next man up if Deontay Johnson does not play on Sunday. If the game is played on Sunday, of course, they play the Titans. That at least is the plan going into week four. Let's get into rankings. And I was thinking about this as I was going through my quarterback ranks this week. The quarterbacks that we count on basically across the board have great matchups. So I'm never going to remove a Lamar or Mahomes or, you know, a Russell Wilson from my top 10. They just all happen to be in really good spots this week. However, there is a quarterback who has an excellent matchup this week. That's why I'm going all out in Madden NFL 21. It's available now, and our Madden feature player for week four is Joe Burrow for the Cincinnati Bengals, who, as you can see on the bottom of your screen for those that are watching, is one of two players with at least 60 fantasy points in their first career games since 2014. The other person is Patrick Mahomes. So that's good company. It's a good stat right there for Joe Burrow. And Matthew, he, first of all, has had to throw a ton because they're bad on defense, and the offensive line is not good either. So he's scrambling for his life out there, and they can't run the ball right now. But we saw the Jaguars get, was that a carving last week? What would that be?
A crushing. Yeah, I mean, Fitz Magic. And so, look, we liked Joe Burrow as a sleeper coming to the season for all the reasons you just said. Like, this is an offense that's going to have to throw a lot. It was one of the pass-heaviest offenses in the NFL last year.
Yep.
And we didn't think they improved their defense very much. We did think they improved their offensive skill players. So we talked about the fact that, hey, we expect their offensive line not to be good, but at least to be slightly better. They're getting A.J. Green back. We like T. Higgins as a rookie. They have Auden Tate and John Ross. They're so deep now at pass catcher, they actually made John Ross a healthy scratch last week. And so Joe Burrow, who's tied for the league in opportunities, which is pass attempts plus rushing attempts. So he's tied for the NFL league lead in opportunities to earn fantasy points. You mentioned the Jags defense that allow the sixth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, to me, like Joe Burrow, I have him as a top 11 play this week. I'm writing my love list today. He will be on the love list.
So, again, I emphasize that there are great matchups for the top quarterbacks this week. So I don't want you to overthink things too much. But if for some reason you want to kind of go bold, I think Jared Goff also is on the list of quarterbacks that are in a good spot this week as the Rams play against the Giants at home in Los Angeles. Goff was great last week as well. I also want to just.
I was just going to say, there's most of the stud quarterbacks have great matchups. It's a ridiculous. Yeah. But if you've been rolling with Carson Wentz, if you've been rolling with Drew Brees,
Danny Dimes, exactly.
I think you're in a deeper league. Then I think there's some conversation to be had here. I think there's a conversation to be had in terms of, do you start Jared Goff, do you start Joe Burrow or Cam Newton on the road at Kansas City, who did a good job with a mobile quarterback last week, and Lamar Jackson. So I think that's at least a conversation. To your point about Jared Goff, right? By the way, four of his past five games, Jared Goff has been a top 11 fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Giants and what a bad season it's been for them as well. Tough defense there. They're allowing the ninth most yards per pass attempt. By the way, and Jared Goff, this is, we talked about this one in the preseason as well in terms of Jared Goff. This is a stat I used a lot. Shout out to my friend Rich Rebar at Lord Reebs who came up with this stat. But basically that, you know, last year, seven different times, a Jared Goff, a pass catcher, somebody that caught a pass from Jared Goff was tackled on the 1 yard line. And Goff did not throw a touchdown pass the rest of that series. Right. And so, you know, I brought this up a lot, which is that Jared Goff last year was top five in pass attempts, top five in completions and passing yards, and like 17th in touchdown passes. He just got insanely unlucky with touchdowns. And we're like, do we think Sean McVay has suddenly stopped learning how to coach? We don't.
Yeah.
Jared Goff, who was a top 10 fantasy quarterback 2 years ago, is back to being a borderline one this year. It was what we talked about in the preseason. It's good to see coming up, and you can't ask for a better matchup than the New York Football Giants.
Two coaching points here. I've decided I'm going to make that a term here on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Is one, for those that are looking ahead to bye weeks, they start in week five, and you got Aaron Rodgers on a bye. So if you've been rolling with Rodgers, you're going to have to replace him. Matthew Stafford as well, which maybe some people are.
Yeah, sure.
He has not been bad by any stretch. The second one, and I don't want the Steelers-Titans game to be delayed, but it's a reminder that like these things could happen on a moment's notice. So there, if there's ever a year where you might think long and hard about rostering a second quarterback and Jared Goff's available in about two-thirds of leagues, this would be the year. Let's move forward to running back ranks. And, you know, James Robinson, there's no debate here between you, me, and the consensus ranks. We all have him at, you have him at 17, I have him at 16. Consensus ranks are at 17 as well. Maybe it's just the realization that, like, he's going to be a fixture here until proven otherwise going forward. And it's another matchup that you like here with the Bengals, who defensively they made some investments in defensive tackles this offseason, but Geno Atkins has missed time, Mike Daniels has missed time, which has led to basically DJ Reader having to be a one-man show. You can run against Cincinnati.
You can do a lot of things against Cincinnati, and honestly, you can do a lot of things against Jacksonville. And the reason I bring that up is I think this is a sneaky high scoring game.
I think you've got
two good to, you know, functional to good offenses with two bad defenses, two teams that can move the ball. Remember the Jags, they played last Thursday night, so they've had 10 days to prepare for this game. I'm sure that game did not go the way they wanted. And even in a blowout loss to Miami, James Robinson had himself a day. And he's a true three-down back. And look, I had a bunch of deeper leagues where I've been holding on to Reichwell Armstead or Divine Ozigbo, and they were my first cuts this week because I'm just like, those guys ain't getting the job back. I had a friend text me about it. Well, here's my roster. I'm like, dude, why are you hanging on to Reichwell Armstead? Like, he says, so, well, I'm hoping he comes back. I'm like, I'm not sure when he's coming back, but when he comes back, it's going to be to high-five James Robinson when he comes off the field.
Yeah, like, literally, yeah.
Robinson's the guy.
He's the truth. Yeah.
Listen, just to give you a few stats here, Bengals allow the sixth most running back points. They allow the second most yards per carry after contact to opposing running backs. And you think about James Robinson and the workload, 78% of the Jaguars' running back touches this season, not carries, touches, because there was so much concern about, oh, well, Chris Thompson's going to be their passing down back. He wasn't Thursday night. They were trailing for most of that game, and he got a few touches, but it was the James Robinson show.
Right, it certainly was, and he has been great for them and a revelation, and I'm really happy for him because any undrafted player had a very, very, very steep hill to climb this year just to make the roster, and instead he made the roster and looks like a keeper for them. All right, so Carlos Hyde, we know, and Stefan, I'll ask you, it's Wednesday morning, and the Seahawks obviously won't have a practice report until probably 7 o'clock on the East Coast or so tonight. Anything you think is important to pass along with a Chris Carson update, or are we sort of chalky from where we were yesterday?
I think we're sort of chalky. I would not plan on him playing in this game. I'd be shocked, frankly.
Okay.
I think they expect him to miss this game, but overall are pleased that the injury wasn't more severe than it was.
Gotcha.
And to be clear, that is Chris Carson. We're not expecting Chris Carson. The graphic says Carlos Hyde because we're talking about him, but I just want to be clear.
Relative to Carlos Hyde.
We are not expecting Chris Carson to play.
Gotcha.
Right.
Fair. Good to know. So without Chris Carson this week, we expect Carlos Hyde to be the next man up. So my rankings, as you'll see on the block here, running back 48, that's obviously reflective of Chris Carson playing, so I'll adjust that later on today. You are at running back 34. I would think that means no Chris Carson. Are you going to?
No, I ranked Chris Carson, but I ranked him. This is such inside baseball, and no one cares. But I think it's important. What I will just say is that so Mike Clay, who does our productions, does a great job for us, right?
Yeah.
So and we until we know for sure Chris Carson is out, like Mike has to do a projection for Chris Carson.
Yep.
So we have a projection for Chris Carson in our game, and so I feel like my rankings need to reflect our projections. And so if Mike has a projection out for Chris Carson, I need to rank him. I can disagree with the projection. I can have a ranking that's you know, doesn't match up with the projection. But if he has a projection, I feel like he needs to be ranked. And so I have ranked Chris Carson. But my expectation is if he were to be playing in this game, it would be in a limited role that I don't think he would get the full Chris Carson type workload, which is why I'm a little bit more bullish on Carlos Hyde than you. But I think we all are in agreement that ultimately Chris Carson's going to be ruled out of this game. His projection will go to zero. And Carlos Hyde against a Dolphins team you can run on is going to be a top 12 play this week.
Okay, I was going to say, that. Where I think that's the number that people are wondering about is where does he wind up in your ranks if Chris Carson is out? And I might be,
for me, it's top 12-ish.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe like closer to 15 for me. I'd have to sort of re-examine that board, but I think somewhere between 12 and 15 sounds accurate. Last one here, because we'll get into Melvin Gordon tomorrow on the show with the Thursday night matchup, is David Montgomery. And we know Tariq Cohen is going to be out for the year with torn ACL. They did promote Artavis Pierce from the practice squad for some running back depth, but we understand...
They have Ryan Nall there,
Ryan Nall, and obviously Cordero Patterson. Yeah. So... workload has been steady once again for David Montgomery, Matthew. I'm trying to think of a good comparison to a player, though, because there are just guys who end up settling into their role as like volume-based average level players. I don't know.
Frank Gore,
but in the more maybe more recent Frank Gore, right? Like, so Frank Gore in like the last 9 years, because he was playing for like 9 years before that, too.
Like, on some level, like, a very poor man's Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's never been the most efficient guy in the world. Yeah, I mean, he's been more touchdowns, though, right? Well, exactly. That's my point. Like, Melvin Gordon needs touches to be efficient because, like, he's an under 4 yards per carry guy for his career. So Gordon is a guy that, like, but he's just his whole career he's banked on volume and scoring.
Is it Leonard Fournette?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great call.
You know, basically like last year's Leonard Fournette, but not as prolific, obviously,
and not as
like,
used in the passing game as much.
All he gets is volume. He's not doing much with it, but we always say volume and opportunity is king in fantasy. So
it is, you know, somewhat. Is?
I thought of one.
Okay.
And not trying to be funny here. Alfred Morris during some of his years. Not the great year, but Alfred Morris. By the way, shout out Alfred Morris. He signed with the Giants practice squad yesterday.
There you go.
That?
He's back, baby.
Back, baby.
1 point.
Yeah.
Just need 1 point. Just 1 point.
What kind of Alfred Morris, like, in the sense that, like, limited passing game? Some, but not a ton. So anyways, I think that David Montgomery, he's going to wind up, I think most weeks he's going to wind up between 20 and 25. He'll rarely go into the top 10 for running backs in a given week. And I don't think he's ever going to have weeks where he has like 5 carries.
Yeah, I mean, right. So the volume keeps his floor to a certain level. I mean, once Tariq Cohen left the game last week, he got all 5 running back touches. He got 4 carries and a catch. And ultimately, Tariq Cohen vacates about 6 to 7 touches a game, right? 3 targets per game, 6 to 7 touches a game. The problem is that he's had this volume before and hasn't done much with it, right? And the argument for David Montgomery is even more increased volume, and that we think this offense will be better and more efficient and in scoring opportunities more often with Nick Foles under center.
Yes.
So that's the pro David Montgomery argument. I will say Colts have allowed the 5th fewest points to opposing running backs. They're allowing under 4 running back yards per carry. And David Montgomery, for all his volume, has just 2 red zone carries this season. Just 2.
He hasn't been great. I was too flattering with my comparisons. I got to think of somebody
again.
It's not quite hitting me. I'll think of it.
He's an unenthusiastic flex play.
Yeah.
Until we see different.
Okay. Fair enough. We're gonna get to our wide receivers and our tight ends just briefly after this. But first, if you're missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium, it doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball in summer. They're an American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. Guess what? Ballpark Buns and Rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark Buns and Rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of the year. Whether shared at a backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself while enjoying a Ballpark Bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Find them wherever you grocery shop.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? For Field Yates to admit breakfast beer isn't a thing?
What?
As great as that'd be, that's probably not going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
Let's get into our pass catcher rankings here. We mentioned earlier that Mike Evans, we sort of teased it, if you will. And all right, yeah. So we think there's a chance.
I will.
Yeah. So if you drafted Mike Evans.
Yes.
3 weeks into the season.
Yes.
Disappointed, satisfied, pleased. Where are you with Mike Evans so far?
All those emotions and more. Like satisfied because he's had two good games in this, you know, like he the last 2 weeks he's scored touchdowns. I mean, right, two for two isn't great, but ultimately you're like
doesn't
at the
matter,
end of the day, right? I mean, you got 14,
his way to it, right?
Right? You know, exactly. He sort of portaled his way to a
I'm
productive fantasy day.
Tomorrow night in a two quarterback league. I don't
of course
care.
You are.
I'm going to make a way to
find
happen.
Happen. Yeah. Hope he gets in the game. So on that thing, I think you're pleased. On the other hand, and you're also pleased that, by the way, he's healthy,
yeah.
Right? I mean, like, you know, because the where he was going, like, he was going right next to Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
You're happier that you have Evans and not Godwin right now, or some of the other guys that, you know, Kenny Golladay went around that range, and Kenny Golladay, obviously, we've only seen for one game, basically, and, you know, or Michael Thomas. Like, we've had some bad, you know, Devontae Adams missed a game. So, but on the other hand, the Buccaneers offense hasn't been as explosive as we hoped it would be. All that said, for me, my expectation here is that they'll move him around. So Mike Clay, who does a great job with our cornerback wide receiver matchups, does expect a shadow of Casey Hayward on Mike Evans here. But, you know, listen, here's a guy that's getting, you know, he got 50% of the Tampa Bay targets, 60% of the receptions inside the 10-yard line. He ran a route of 95% of week three dropbacks. Like, he's a stud. You know what I mean? And Tom Brady,
it's
when
like
he...
It's weird because there have been so few... there have been... How many wide receivers have been elite for all 3 weeks so far?
Like...
DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
It's Stephon Diggs.
Diggs.
Tyreek Hill. DK Metcalf.
Yeah,
Tyler Lockett, like that's about it. Like all the guys,
Amari Cooper, I think. I mean, Amari Cooper was
solid,
great.
Right? It's just been a weird year for wide receivers.
Been a really weird
those
year.
Those things will level set. But one more here, two more here, excuse me. So Devontae Parker for the Dolphins, he faces the Seahawks, and yeah. They're all. I mean, the Seahawks have allowed 73.2 wide receiver points per game.
Is that a lot? Because that seems like a lot.
For context, no other team is allowing even 49 wide receiver points
per game. It is a lot.
So basically, I mean, they are like nearly, what's that, about 40% worse than the next worst team in the NFL. It's slowing down opposing wide receivers. I've got Devontae Parker at 27 in my rankings, Matthew, and maybe I need to just get rid of the two and just call him the seventh best wide receiver.
I mean, I'm at 23, and I think I might be too low on him as well. I mean, look... I'm not the biggest Devontae Parker fan, as you know, but it's one of the reasons why I was sort of in on Preston Williams. But I have to say, Fitzy has looked good so far
last week,
right? You know, sure I mean, did, like yeah. he's had one bad game this year, which was against the Patriots. And by the way, a lot of people have bad games against the Patriots,
right?
And Bill Belichick, and so like he's getting the ball to Fitzy. We have no concerns whatsoever that Seattle will have trouble moving the ball against the Dolphins, right? It's an offense that is humming on all cylinders. And so to keep up with them, they're going to have to throw. And that's, look, the Seahawks defense yet doesn't scare you. And so they're, look, I think Devontae Parker, I think Mike Gesicki, I think Miles Gaskin, you know, in a super deep league, I think this might be the best game we see from Preston Williams this year.
Yeah, one thing I'm a little bit nervous about with Miami is that, like, so the Seahawks have played three very good offenses. I mean, two for sure really good in Dallas and Atlanta. And then one of the Patriots that might be like a different kind of good, right? They might be like, they're sort of chameleons, right? They can run the ball for 250 yards in a week, and then Cam can throw for 397. But like Damir Bird, opposite of Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry and Ryan Izzo, is that the same threat that you have with Amari Cooper and obviously Michael Gallup and et cetera? So I'm a little worried that like for as bad as Seattle has been defensively, that this is one of those games that like, you talk yourself into Miami scoring 30 points, and then they score like 13, and you're like, oh, God, why did I do this? However, this should give you some confidence.
There could be some junk time here.
There could be. But let me give you some confidence if you have Devontae Parker. I traded him away this week.
Oh.
In my longest running league, it's a keeper auction league. So there's all kinds of caveats that, like, trades are very plentiful because you could trade away an inferior player overall, but
he has a better,
he's younger, better contract, things. But so it was Devontae Parker for Zach Ertz was the trade. I have less future control over Zach Ertz, and he's more expensive, etc. But so I'm just letting you guys know that Devontae Parker may be due for 50 points this Sunday. Because you can thank me.
Because you traded him.
Right.
Because for people that have listened to the podcast for a long time, people remember, like, Field Yates, like, traded Amari Cooper, and then he had that massive game on Thursday.
46.9 points, I believe it was.
Right, exactly, so, against Kansas City on Thursday night. Yeah. There have been a couple of times where that has happened, where you've traded. Like, you traded, didn't you trade away Aaron Jones before his four touchdown game last year? Right? I believe that happened
as well.
I'm
having a hard time hearing.
I believe that happened as well. I believe you did an OBJ for Stefania, Aaron Jones.
Do you have any update on...
I'll bail you out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Calvin Ridley, add him to the star wide receivers for the season.
Oh, thank you. Good call, Stefania. Let's move forward. After that great point by Stefania, let's keep moving forward and not talk about trades that went
around.
Great job, Stefania. You're the best in the business. All right, two more really quickly before we get to an interview. A very special one at that. Darius Slayton for the Giants. They have been disappointing so far offensively. Slayton's one of the sort of lone bright stars for them. Bright spots, I should say, with those two touchdowns in week one. But he goes week one, he was wide receiver 5, and then he's outside the top 65 in back-to-back weeks.
Yep.
Darius Slayton's a guessing game, and it's not a guessing game that there's a lot of logic behind, right? Because you play the Steelers in week one, and you're like, nah, no way, get it going against the Steelers. And they get
touchdowns.
And then Chicago and who did they play this last week? Whoever they played.
They played the Niners.
Niners. And you're like, oh, the 49ers, they're banged up in the secondary. Maybe he goes big this week. No, not so fast, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how, like, I don't know if I'm evaluating playing Darius Slayton, Matthew. I'm not sure what logic I'm following other than potentially, I don't know. Like, if you have a baby, like, ask your baby if he'll play well or not.
Yeah.
Because babies might have a better chance of guessing than you and I do.
I guess the argument would be is that, listen, they're going to take some deep shots with him. And, you know, with no Saquon Barkley and no Sterling Shepard, do they get down and just, you know, so increase target share? Personally, I think the start in this game is probably either Evan Engram or Golden Tate, because you think about Jalen Ramsey on the outside, and actually the Rams as a whole have been really good in terms of their entire cornerback play has been really, really good. The way you attack the Rams is the middle of the field. I mean, and Tyler Kroft had a huge game against the Rams past week.
Sweet.
So, I mean, I think this is an Evan Engram game, and maybe some Golden Tate as well in a second week back. Slayton, for me, I'm at 37, and that actually might be too high. Again, he's a guy that all he needs is one play,
right.
And so that's always the risk with him. But in terms of just a consistent fantasy floor, it's just not there. Very talented young player, but, I think you – like, there is no logic as to when he goes off. It's just if he gets deep for one.
But as we discuss one tight end here, is Evan Engram due? You mentioned you like him.
So.
Because there are some encouraging things from Evan Engram so far this year. He ranks 3rd in tight end routes run this year.
Yep.
He's run 30-plus routes in every game this season. He ran 103 in total. That's good. Like, that's really good. That's what you want from a guy who has plenty of speed, plenty of skill when he has the football in his hands, but yet he's been bad this year in total, right? I mean, like, he just has not gotten the job done for the Giants. No one really has. So maybe this is a breakout week. Maybe it's when you least expect it. This is the breakout week.
Look, tight ends have 3 touchdowns against the Rams so far this year. That's tied for 4th most in the NFL. They have 26 targets. That's tied for 8th most against the Rams. Again, how do you attack LA, right? So that's and by the way, like, they're going to want to try to get the ball out quickly. I mean, like, if you're Daniel Jones, who has an issue with fumbling, and here comes Aaron Donald and the rest of that line, like, you know they're going to blitz. They're going to ramp up the pressure. And so I think, you know, Daniel Jones probably tries to get the ball out quickly and in the middle of the field. And so Golden Tate and Evan Engram on short routes, middle of the field, between the numbers, is where I think a lot of their offense goes on Sunday. And, yeah, I mean, it has been a tough slog for Evan Engram. And I will say this as well. If Evan Engram doesn't do it this week, time to bail.
Time to bail, indeed.
I mean, he's been...
Yeah.
He's through three... I mean, we'll be through a quarter of a season. If he doesn't do it this week, he's going to be... He'll have been healthy for all 4 weeks, and he hasn't produced at all. He was drafted as a top 7 fantasy tight end field.
And one of the guys that you could be turning to if you're looking to replace him after this week would be Mike Gesicki. He was available on the waiver wire a couple of weeks ago. Maybe not so much anymore, but he is tight end 7 for you, tight end 6 for me. And he's got touchdowns in consecutive games, Matthew. That's good news. I mean, he is a touchdown machine. Now, the problem is he had one catch last week. One catch for 15 yards and a touchdown. So I mentioned earlier, we talked about the matchup against Seattle, and you mentioned Mike Gesicki. So maybe he gets loose. And the Seahawks, worth noting, may not have Jamal Adams on Sunday. I don't know if Stefania has any intel there, but it sounds like there's a chance he might not be available for them.
Yeah, I have admittedly field not... don't have my info on that
okay.
right at this second.
So. Rarely do we stump Stefania. It's like stumping the Schwab. It doesn't happen frequently.
Right.
So we consider this one a feather in our cap. But yes, Jamal Adams at one point seemed like he would be doubtful to play on Sunday. They're traveling across the country here, so we'll see if he even makes the trip from Seattle to Miami.
And the point here is that sort of like we talked about with Chris Carson, Seahawks are 3-0. They've got a bye in week six. You know what I mean? They play Miami and then they play Minnesota, two games that seem fairly winnable at this point, two teams that have struggled so far this year. So you would think that the Seahawks that have legitimate Super Bowl aspirations are going to be cautious with any of their star players on either side of the ball. It is worth noting that the Seahawks have allowed 20 different they've allowed 20 tight end points this season. That's third fewest. So it's not a great matchup here. So hopefully some junk time there if you were starting Mike Gesicki. Want to turn now to a friend of the show. Scott Spratt does projections and rankings for footballoutsiders.com. He is also a contributor to us here at ESPN. Scott, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, Matthew. How are you? Excited to be on.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having us. So talk to me. So before we get into some of your thoughts here on players for week number four, talk to me about the process that you use at footballoutsiders.com to come up with your rankings and your projections.
Sure. So we do weekly projections, but we actually build our rankings from those projections with an algorithm. So we start with a context neutral projection to say, how well is this player going to do if everything is normal? Average opponent, playing in a neutral field, et cetera. And then we adjust one venue, weather, or defensive factor at a time to move his ranking based on the matchup and get a sense of which players really are the best start and sit options for the week.
So let's go into some of those best start and sit options for the week. And let's start at the quarterback and a guy you like this week.
So Drew Brees, I do like him, but not enough to make him a quarterback one. So based on his historical perception, that may not be the case. While the Lions' opponent are a positive play for quarterbacks, they're a top five booster of passing touchdowns per attempt. The issue really here is home versus road. Brees has one of the most extreme home versus road splits among quarterbacks in the sport, 5.2 more fantasy points per game at home than on the road since 2017. Among current starters, only Ryan Tannehill and Dwayne Haskins have more extreme splits, and they obviously have less of a sample size over that time. This season, when a lot of the conversation about Brees has been about his arm strength, the home road splits have really driven things for him in fantasy anyway. Five touchdowns versus zero interceptions in two home games, one touchdown and one interception in his one game on the road so far this season. So all told, that drops Brees to 14th among quarterbacks for me this week, up from his true talent ranking, but still not somebody you want to start in your shallow ESPN leagues.
Yeah, he's outside my top 10 as well. It's interesting, though, if the home road splits, we'll see how it sort of goes with this for the year. He's always been better at the Superdome, but it'll be interesting with no crowds, basically, this year, or very reduced crowds. It'll be interesting to sort of see. I'm not sure it's fair to judge him on the one home road game this year without Michael Thomas. I don't know that we have enough knowledge yet about Drew Brees until we get more of a sample size with Michael Thomas. But I agree with your basic take here, which is that Drew Brees not a top 10 guy, despite the fact that they're playing the Lions, which in theory is a pretty good matchup. I'm going to be writing my love list and my love hate list later today, Scott. And Kenyon Drake is on that list for me. You like him this week as well?
I really do. So he's playing against the Carolina Panthers, which is really the best matchup you can get for a running back. They're a top four booster, 20% booster of yards per carry for running backs, and the number one booster of touchdowns per carry, over a 100% boost. Touchdowns have really been the problem for Drake so far this season. He's top 10 among touches at the position, just one rushing touchdown, though, in three games. However, he does lead Mike Clay's opportunity-adjusted touchdown metric among their running backs, so seems like the most likely running back to score on the team. And the Panthers have allowed 31 rushing touchdowns in their last 13 games, dating back to their Week 7 bye last season. That's an average of 2.4 per game, and they've allowed at least two rushing touchdowns in 10 of those 13 games. So Drake, at this point, not normally in my top 20 at the position. He's 21st in my true talent running back rankings, jumps to 17th. and I expect he gains about 1.4 projected PPR points this week.
Yeah, by the way, and not only do I have him at 7 this week in terms of my rankings, mm-hmm. and I will say that I believe he is a great buy low, that I believe I'm with you, and I think the opportunity to get him in a trade is going to end on Sunday, because there's probably people out there, managers, that are frustrated with him, but we both expect him to go off against the Carolina Panthers. So your chance to buy low, as it were, on Kenyon Drake ends on Sunday. So get your trade offers in now. There's been a lot of debate in the fantasy football community about Austin Eckler. I had him as a top 10 running back coming into the season. There were other people that thought he was a complete fade. There was definitely, obviously, some of that was quarterback related. People thought Tyrod would last longer as a starter than he has so far this season. Where are you on Austin Eckler? And let's talk about this matchup with the Buccaneers.
Sure. I do still have Eckler in the back end of my top 10 in PPR formats in particular. He's ninth for me, but drops a little bit to 10th this week playing against the Buccaneers. Whereas the Panthers are one of the best matchups for running backs, I think you can make an argument that Tampa is the worst. They had the number one DVOA run defense last season. It didn't really show up all the time because Jameis Winston tended to throw those interceptions, giving his opponents short fields and opportunities for rushing touchdowns. But so far this season, they're still fifth in the metric, and they dock running back yards per carry by more than 30%. And just to give you kind of some context, I know that Eckler is a big receptions guy, but just look at Christian McCaffrey's last three games against the Buccaneers. Week 2 last year, 37 rushing and 16 receiving yards. Week 6 last year, 31 rushing and 26 receiving yards. And week 2 this year, 59 and 29 before the injury. So I think it's a situation where even though Eckler may still catch some passes, and we project him for 4.4 this week, it's not enough to make him a great play this week in the matchup where he may not get the rushing yards that you expect from him typically.
Worth noting, Buccaneers have allowed the third most running back receptions this season, so mm-hmm. we'll see how that plays out. I'm a little bit more bullish on him than you. I'm at running back 8 for the week. We'll see how that plays out. Let's go to Washington now. You know I got to get a Washington question in here, Scott. So let's talk about Terry McLaurin, who might be my favorite player on the team right now, at least on the offensive side of the ball here. He's going to face a really tough defense. He's gotten some bad quarterback play, but the volume has been there for McLaurin. Where are you on him this week?
That's true. McLaurin is at this point normally a top 10 wide receiver for me in PPR, but this week does drop outside of my top 20. He's playing the Ravens, and I know that everybody that watched Monday Night Football is probably a little bit unafraid, I guess, of facing them after the Chiefs just like ran amok on them. But typically, the Ravens are a very difficult matchup for, in particular, number one receivers. They're top 10 in reducing yards per target and completion percentage to the position. And while the Chiefs have so many weapons that they can kind of spread the work out in the passing game, when you have one focal target like the Washington football team does, Marlon Humphrey, cornerback, is probably going to be the man on him for most of the day. And he averaged just 5.0 yards per target allowed last season, fifth lowest of 89 qualified cornerbacks. And just for context, Defensive Player of the Year Stephon Gilmore allowed 6.4 yards per target. So Humphrey is that good.
Sounds, you're not going to hear me say anything bad about Marlon Humphrey. That is for sure. Just want to skip ahead real quickly. I know we're running short on time here. Let's move over to tight end now. No Dallas Goedert in this game for the Philadelphia Eagles. So Zach Ertz going to San Francisco, normally a tough defense. They've had some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Carson Wentz is struggling as well. Scott, where are you on Zach Ertz this week?
Yeah, so the 49ers are a difficult matchup, in particular for tight ends. Last season, they were the number two team in DVOA allowed to tight ends, DVOA being Football Outsiders efficiency metric for teams. This season, they're far and away first. So even with the injuries, that hasn't really been a factor so far this season. So I think this is probably going to be a tough matchup for Ertz, even with a potential boost in the target share. So this year, they've only really faced Evan Ingram, a top five tight end at the position, but they limited him to 3 catches. And toward the end of last year, they limited Austin Hooper to 3, Jared Cook to 2, and Mark Andrews to 3 catches. So even though you would expect Ertz to lead the team in targets, and we project him to do so, I think it's a situation where his ranking has to be docked a little bit because of the matchup. So he falls from 2nd at the position for me to 4th this week, losing about 1.2 projected PPR points.
But still somebody that I think needs to be in fantasy lineups. I don't know that you're going to have a better option.
Absolutely.
But understand that maybe in DFS, maybe he's not worth paying up to pay for the price. Scott, we can find your work on footballoutsiders.com. And, of course, you also contribute to ESPN. But if somebody wants to follow you on social, where can they find you?
They can follow me at Scott_Spratt on Twitter, and they can listen to me at the Football Outsiders Fantasy Podcast.
Sounds great. Scott, thanks so much. Great stuff, man.
Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right, that is our friend Scott Spratt.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, good stuff. He's very interesting stuff. Has a different point of view on fantasy and football, which is always interesting to get.
We like the more information, the better. So that's always good to hear someone's perspective. Go find Scott on Twitter, as he just mentioned. All right, Matthew, a couple of live reads before we finish up with some trivia.
The rising generation of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating in space for years, way before they get to the league. Now, Field Yates, it's your turn.
Woohoo!
Create your own highlight reel with X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls, swag out and win in style, and new backyard football-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21, available now. By the way, pay attention to who's tweeting at you during the game. You might see a familiar face.
When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job or finding the time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. All those reasons are why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 of the top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job. This is when good things do come from hustling, and it invites them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's 80%. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, time now for our Geico trivia question. We pass it along to our friend and your favorite, Mr. Kyle Soppy. You know what? Want to get a social question in real quick?
Yeah, we'll start with a pair of social questions real quick. Kevin wants to know if Brian Hill's worth a speculative ad. He's available in over 90% of leagues.
Yeah, we mentioned this on the show yesterday that he will be like sort of he is the definition of a speculative ad, right? Todd Gurley's still the guy in the backfield right now in Atlanta, but 9 carries last week for Brian Hill, the long run. He had a long catch as well. It may take 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. It may never happen, but he could eventually be the starter in Atlanta. So I would say, yes, he is worth the speculative ad. How about you get Matthew for the second one here?
All right, last one here before we get to trivia. Sean wants to know, Tyler Boyd or DJ Moore for the rest of the season?
Boy, that's a close one. And this is going to shock you, but I'm going to say Tyler Boyd.
No, it doesn't shock me.
I mean, like, look, I get it, DJ Moore. DJ, in terms of where they went in drafts, that's obviously a wide margin here. I feel better about the passing game of Cincinnati and Joe Burrow than I do about Teddy Bridgewater. I'm nervous about the fact that DJ Moore never gets any red zone targets. Like, they never look for him in the red zone, right? And by the way, Robbie Anderson's a thing. And so, like, if Robbie Anderson's going to be a thing and you get Christian McCaffrey, look, it's close, but I think I prefer Tyler Boyd to DJ Moore. Both guys are going to be very solid, but
I second that notion.
Do you? Okay.
I do, yeah. With just a few minutes left here, Kyle, time now for the Geico trivia question.
All right. Matthew was talking red zone targets and DJ Moore not getting them, but who has been getting them? Who leads the league with 7 red zone targets through 3 weeks?
And you have a hint here that you provided us.
Very simple question. Yes. He shares an alma mater with one of the 3 of you.
Okay, so that means it could be from 25 different schools. Yeah. Stefania's got.
You're right. I was just going to say, I can tell you it's not a Syracuse guy.
It's
Syracuse,
not a Princeton guy.
It could be a Wesleyan guy.
I was just going to say, is there a Wesleyan player in the NFL?
There's not.
Okay, so it's one of Stefania's many. So it's probably somebody from
Belichick's
University of Miami.
Been doing some work, yeah.
It's probably from somebody from the U.
Or Kansas.
Yeah. Or Princeton.
No, Kansas, we're not talking about.
An honorary degree from Ohio State.
Princeton.
Right.
John Lovett, a Green Bay, shout out.
Yeah, there you go.
She has a degree from San Francisco University.
Okay, we're under 90 seconds to go here, so who wants to, they want to ante up?
The hint ruined me.
Okay, so anyway, here, I have this. Matthew, get your answer down, and then once you have your answer down, we can start answering. I have a weird feeling on this one. But Stefania, do you have an answer? As Matthew writes this down, do you have an answer or no?
Well, I would have an answer, but not for one of our 3 schools.
Okay, well then you're probably
gonna
be wrong.
Yeah, I'm getting this wrong.
All right, fine. See, it's fine. Do you want to guess? Last chance to guess.
No, because I would have guessed Calvin Ridley or somebody.
I'm going with Jimmy Graham from the Bears.
Oh, I bet you that's right.
Who do you want?
Ew.
This is wrong. DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf is wrong. Calvin Ridley and a four-way tie for second. Jimmy Graham.
Let's go.
Leads the league with seven red zone targets.
And I was looking for wide
receivers.
Oh,
I know,
man.
What it was is that Kyle never makes things simple, so it's a play.
Right.
You're like, Jimmy Graham can't possibly be doing it. And yes, Jimmy Graham continues to do it.
By the way, yeah, Jimmy Graham, who was like, you know, left for gone
I knew
when the season started, but... I think I should get a point for a second, and Matthew should get zero.
Wait, why do you get a point? Well, at least I guessed somebody.
Because who's in the graphic. I mean, someone who was in the graphic.
I at least knew Calvin Ridley went to Alabama, and none of us went to Alabama, so I immediately ruled out.
Well, I knew he wasn't. I said I was going to say him.
Yes,
he
doesn't
answer,
count. Stop it. It doesn't count. I was just, but DK Metcalf's a dumb guess because all of his touchdowns have been long.
Stop right there.
This year. No, but last year he led the league in end zone targets, so that's where, but... I knew it was wrong, and I hate the Geico trivia question. I love Geico. Thank you for sponsoring, but I hate the trivia question. It's the dumbest part of our show.
On Thursday's show, we'll have Mike Clay to talk about wide receivers.
I love Mike Clay.
Plus a matchup preview between the Jets and the Broncos. Somebody has to win. Unless there's a tie.
Can the trivia question tomorrow be what am I wearing?
And Matthew, I am Fields. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Peace out. You're in the 06010.